Good morning and greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be together here this first Sunday of 2026. I was thinking about the idea, the devotional of saying yes. Thank you for those thoughts, Eli. And I was thinking about how saying yes, Lord, sometimes it's kind of like an escape room. And we have a decision to make, but we're not quite sure what comes next. But we feel that God is asking to do something, and we say, yes, Lord. And then he reveals the next step. And we say, yes, Lord, and we take the next step. And I was just thinking about, because sometimes it looks very uncertain. You know, what if I say yes, then what's going to happen? But God never asks us to take a step without giving us the next step in his timing. And so say yes, Lord, even if you're not sure what the next step is going to be. For a message this morning, start with a question. What is your most precious resource? What would you say your most precious resource is? There's not necessarily a right or wrong answer. We'll see if anybody says what I'm thinking about. Anyone want to guess what your most important resource is? Time? Jonah, what were you going to say?
Water.
Water? Okay. Somebody said time. I'm not sure who. Any other ideas?
Other humans.
Pardon?
Other humans?
I don't know what the most, you know, if you had to boil it down to just one, I don't know what that one would be. But the one I want to talk about this morning is time. It is one of our precious resources, time. And of course, when we think about the passing of a year into the next year, we think about New Year, we think about time. Typically, we talk about time, and we lament how fast time moves on, and we lament how fast the last year went, and we talk about time, and as we think about a new year, we mark events by year as well. And so January of every year is kind of a, for some reason, has been for our family the month that important things happen. And so 20 years ago, January 20 years ago, we moved to Missouri. And January 8 years ago, we moved to the house that we live in now. And then 3 years ago, January, was the first service that we held here. And so we mark important events in the passing of time. Time is a resource that's universally non-discriminatory. And it's fairly distributed. Everyone has the same amount every day. The president and the beggar on the street corner, the CEO and the cleaning person, the billionaire and the pauper, they all have the same amount of time. 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day. Doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you're going to have 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour and so forth. And you can choose to a certain extent how you use your time. You can spend time, you can waste it, but you can't ever save it for later. You can't get to the end of the day and say, well, I've got an extra hour here, I'll save it for tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. You can't accumulate it. You can't stockpile it. You can't pause it. You can't go back and you can't fast forward. And when I was working on this, I had, you can't rewind it and you can't fast forward. And I was like, well, how many of you even know what fast forward and rewinding is? And it's fresh in my mind because we spent the past week with my parents and usually that involves my dad digging out some of his old records and old tapes, and he and I go through and listen to some of our old favorites. And so we were doing a lot of rewinding and fast-forwarding the one evening. So it's fresh in my mind. But again, that's time, the movement of time. But everyone's supply is renewed every single day they're alive. So every morning you wake up, your time is renewed. It's not, you can't carry it over. You can't buy an extra hour. The only variable or the unknown about time is when time is going to end for each of us. We don't know that. But while we're alive, time is a constant. The seconds tick off for me just like they do for you. And so here we are this morning, and we have this time. We don't know if we're going to have the rest of the service or not, but we have this time right now together. And we get to choose how we're going to use it, whether we're going to profit from it or waste it. And so I'm called to use this time to share with you. And my prayer is that I don't waste your time. And you can choose how you use this time as well. You can use them to relive the past week or the past year. You can use them to plan your afternoon or the coming week. You can use them to disturb your neighbor. It doesn't matter. You have a choice. It does matter, but you have a choice on how you're going to use your time. And all of us have been guilty of saying, if I just had a little more time, or if there were just a few more hours in the day. But it doesn't work that way. And guess what? If you had more hours in your day, you'd still have the same problem. You'd still run out of time. But this morning, we all have the same amount of time. And so the question isn't how can we find more time, but how we can honor God with the time that we have. So I've titled the message, Stewards of God's Time. Stewards of God's Time. And I want to consider a few principles regarding time, and then more specifically on some ways that we steward our time. And so the first principle that I have is that time belongs to God. And of course, we likely immediately think about Genesis 1 and where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so in the beginning, that was the beginning of time, in the beginning. And in verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And in verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day, the beginning of time. God is the creator of time. With the creation of light, time began. Created light and time are inseparable. You can't have time without light. And so the created belongs to the creator. Every minute, every second belongs to God. There's no such thing as me time. The psalmist David said, my times are in your hand. And turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Familiar chapter here with a lot of word time, a lot of uses of the word time. Starts off with, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then he goes through the next verses, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And in verse 11, he kind of sums up this whole chapter, and he says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the word that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Or you could say from the beginning of time to the end of time. Everything's beautiful in its time. There's a time for everything. God is the author of time. So time belongs to him. He stands above it. He's not constrained by time. We humans are time bound, we say sometimes. We live within time. We live within the constraints of time. But God is above that. He is not constrained by time. Time serves God and his purposes. Number two, time is a gift. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:7 asks the question, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And we know the answer. Well, nothing. Everything has been given to us, including our time. None of us chose the time of our birth. That was the beginning of time for us. But none of us got to choose that. Time is given to us. It's one of the very precious gifts that God gives to every person. It's not something we can earn or create or even control. It's something we receive. It's free. You don't have to keep putting money in the meter to keep the meter running. It's free. Go to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. A psalm that talks about time. This is Moses writing this psalm. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I want to read the entire psalm here, Psalm 90. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, there is a sleep, in the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and it groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Moses, like I said, is writing here, and he's reflecting on the gift of time and how short time is. But he says in verse 9, all our days are passed away in thy wrath. The idea of that our time is not our own, it's given to us, and it's out of our control. We expect more time. We anticipate tomorrow and the next day and the next. We take time for granted if it's a gift. And then he says, number your days. Teach us to number our days. And part of that numbering our days is remembering that time is a gift. We have no promise of tomorrow. It's not owed to us. Tomorrow is not owed to us. The rest of the day isn't owed to us. It's a gift. And so part of this numbering is remembering that time is a gift. And then number three, the third principle, time is limited. And again, we see that here in this chapter. Time is short and uncertain. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5 say, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. The brevity of time. Life is short. We're just here in Psalm 90, verses 5 and 6, where he likens time to grass. He says, it's like grass, and you mow it. By evening, it's withered and dead. Very fleeting, very short. And then he says, maybe our years are 70 years, and maybe if by strength they're 80. That's kind of the length of our time. The average human lifespan worldwide is, for 2025, is 73 and a half years. Average human lifespan. In the U.S. specifically, the average is 78.4 years. For men, that's 75.8, and women, it's 81.1. So they have a little bit more time than we do. But on average, the average is 78 years, which falls right into this 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength, are 80 years. But if you're under 30, and I don't know, that age might be a little bit vary, that sounds like a long time. 70 years is old. If you're young. But it's amazing how your perspective changes. And it's specifically when your parents start reaching those ages. When your parents start hitting, the upper 60s and 70s and even 80, it doesn't seem so old anymore. And your perspective changes. It's really not that long. 80 years is not very long. But God doesn't guarantee anyone to live to 70 or 80 years either. Like we already mentioned, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed long life. And sometimes we use this terminology, the dash between the dates. That's our time. It's limited. It has a beginning and it has an ending. We know what our beginning is. None of us know what our ending is yet. God knows. But that's our time. Our time is also limited from the aspect that we're confined to the 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour and 24 hours in a day and so forth. That's a limiting amount of time. You can't earn more time. You're limited to that time. What you have is what you have. When you're short of money, you can, get a second job. You can ask your boss for a raise. You can borrow money. You can beg. There's other ways of getting more money if you don't have any. But with time, there is no. If you're out of time, You're out of time. There is no way of getting more. No more, no less. And so you and I have an allotted amount of time, and only God knows how much time remains for each of us. Time belongs to God. He gives us each a limited amount of time. He made us to live in time, to be limited by time, and he wants us to use time wisely and for his glory as wise stewards. So now for the second part of the message, how do we steward the time that God gives us? How do we be good stewards of time? And I want to use an acrostic of the word time. T for the first word, the first point, treasure. Treasure our time. We already talked about in Psalm 90 here the word number. Teach us to number our days. That has the idea of taking notice, consider. Time is a precious thing. Once it's used, it's gone. You can't get it back. It comes and goes quickly, never to return. We're not promised another minute or another day or another year. This moment is what we have, and so we treasure it. How do we treasure the time that we have? Well, remember that time is a gift. Remember that it's a gift. First thing each morning, thank God for the gift of a new day. Do you think about that ever when you wake up in the morning, that I've been given another opportunity, I've been given another day? Think about that. Thank God that you have at least you woke up and you got up. Maybe you don't have the rest of the day, but you have that moment. You have another moment. There's a lot of people that don't see the new day. So thank God for a new day. Be deliberate in the use of your time. Ask God to help you use your time wisely. Be mindful that we'll give account of how we use the time given us. And so it's a treasure. Time is a treasure. So treasure it. Use it wisely. How you treasure time now determines your future and your eternal destiny. There's a little poem I memorized when I was young. Maybe some of you memorized it as well or have heard it. But just a simple little poem. It goes, I have just a little minute, just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute. But eternity is in it. And so it's a treasure. It's been given to you. It's up to you to use it. So treasure it and use it carefully and use it wisely. Second, for the letter I, is the word invest. Invest. Now we think of investing money, investing assets for a return. And we said, well, you can't earn more time. You can't buy more time. So how do you invest time? Well, I'm using this as the opposite of wasting time. And so we talk about spending time. We spend time. Time isn't just to be spent. It's to be invested. And so using your time wisely can yield returns, not necessarily in more time, but in other things. And so wise investment of time yields eternal fruit. Wasted time yields regret, was a saying that I came across. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We invest our time, so we reap. Time is spent. Evaluate where your time goes. Think about where your time is going. What are you spending your time on? Relationships, work, rest, worship. And prioritize what produces eternal value. What benefits others? Don't just waste time on yourself. Time spent on things that serve others and honor God is never wasted. Turn to Romans 11. A few verses in Romans 13, verse 11. Romans 13, there's a few verses here. We invest time by faithfully fulfilling our daily responsibilities. Romans 13, verse 11 to 14, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And so he says, knowing the time, understanding the time, wake up. Use your time wisely. Don't use it. Cast off the works of darkness. Walk honestly. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provisions for the flesh. Don't use your time selfishly. And so, what are some more practical ways of investing our time? First of all, invest in your relationship with God. Bible reading and prayer. One statistic said that on average, American Christians spend 15 minutes a week praying. And that was gleaned through a national survey of Christians, I suppose. But 15 minutes a week praying. I trust that number's not accurate for us here this morning. Hopefully we spend more than 15 minutes a week praying. But do you? Think about it. Do you spend more than 15 minutes a week praying? How about reading the Bible? How many minutes a week do you spend reading your Bible? I was intrigued this past week in the number of posts that I saw on LinkedIn of business acquaintances that were highlighting their New Year's, their annual goal of reading the Bible through. A number of different people. I don't know them personally, but I didn't know that they professed Christianity necessarily, but they were publicly stating that every year they read through the Bible, and I was challenged by that. When's the last time I read through the Bible? I can tell you the last time I was going to read through the Bible, and I failed. I didn't give it priority, and so I didn't get it accomplished. But I was challenged with that. Do I have time to invest in my relationship with God? And we'll talk about that more a little bit later. Secondly, we invest in our families. We invest in our families. Dads, do you take enough time to be present for your wife and children? It's easy to come home from a long day of work and you prop up your feet and you pick up your phone, and half an hour later you realize that half an hour is gone, or maybe it's an hour or whatever. It's easy to do. It's easy to get caught up in your own things, and your wife is there finishing up the dishes or whatever, and you're sitting over there on your phone, and the children are screaming. Your wife would appreciate some help. Spend time. Invest in your families. Your children need you to be present with them. Play with them, whatever it is. Moms, you can be present but not meeting your family's needs. Your husband and children must come first. There's lots of chat groups, and there's cool Pinterest ideas and their statuses and all of those things that can take your attention away from your responsibility, your calling as a mother. But don't forget that your first calling is as a mother, if that's what God has called you to. Invest in brotherhood. Thirdly, invest in brotherhood. Take time to help with work projects. Spend time with a brother or sister. Look for opportunities to serve each other. Whatever that fashion or way that may be, just look for opportunities to serve each other, to visit with each other, to spend time with each other. We all get the same 1,440 minutes a day. We get the privilege of using them however we want to. Will we invest them or will we waste them? Third, letter M, manage. It's been said that we master our minutes or we become slaves to them. We use time or time uses us. And Mr. Banks commented that Christians are like trains. They're always on the move, always in a rush, and always late. Are you like a train? Always on the move, always in a rush, and always late. There's been tens of thousands of books written on the subject of time management, and we still struggle to manage time. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15 to 17 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Redeeming the time. In the NIV, verses 15 to 16 say, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And John Wesley paraphrased these verses this way. He said, "With all possible care, redeeming the time, saving all you can for the best purposes, buying every possible moment out of the hands of sin and Satan, out of the hands of sloth, ease, pleasure, worldly business, the more diligently, because the present are evil days, days of the grossest ignorance, immorality, and profaneness." Redeem the time. Use it wisely. And so when we think about managing time, we need to consider priorities. What gets the priority? What do we give the most attention to? What do we focus on? There are certainly wrong and evil ways to use our time. But I propose that the greater challenge for us is managing our time around the legitimate things. There are good things, and there's better things, and there's the best things. And so how do we manage our time and prioritize the legitimate things in our lives? And as we already said, when we talked about invest, God must be first in all things. He gets the first priority. God gets the first priority. Somebody asked Tom Landry what he credits as helping him to be so successful as a coach. And he answered, "In 1958, I did something everyone who wants to be successful must do. I determined my priorities for my life. God first, then family, and finally football." He was a football coach. But he said that's what he's credited as being his success. He put God first, family second. And he said, if you want to be successful, God has to be first. And so Bible reading and prayer shouldn't be relegated to leftover time, because you won't have any. If you have an iPhone, you have this scary thing called screen time. And if you're like me and you are brave enough to look at your screen time from time to time, you're a little shocked and a little startled that you actually spent that much time on your phone today or yesterday or for the week or whatever. And if you're averaging several hours a day on your phone and you can't find time for Bible reading and prayer, it's a clear indication of your priorities. It's so easy to push for God to be pushed to the background during busy times, but our job is to keep bringing him back to the front where he belongs. We find time for what we consider to be important. And in the Sunday school lesson this morning, our brother talked about that a little bit, taking the time to dig into the Sunday school lesson. And it's so easy to criticize the Sunday school lesson and then lay it aside. And he even stepped on my toes a little bit, and he said, even if you might think you're too busy preparing a message, but you still need to have time to do the Sunday school lesson. So that was a good challenge for me too. So none of us are exempt from this. If you've achieved this, then you've achieved something that I have not achieved yet. But what would change in your life if you spent, let's say, just 15 minutes a day praying? What would change in your life? I don't know what would change in your life. I don't know what would change in my life, but it's a challenge for myself. What would change in my life if I spent more time a day reading the Bible and meditating on it? We have time for what we consider important. Church attendance should be prioritized as well. It's easy. We have time to do the things that we want to do, and then it's church time comes around, prayer meeting time comes around, or some other service comes around, and we're busy. Or maybe it's a work project or something, and we're suddenly busy. We're too busy to participate in that. God must be first. God must receive the first priority. And then prioritize your secondary callings. These are the things that you're called to do, like being a parent or a spouse. And again, this may be a bigger challenge for us dads, but be present, like I said. Be willing to lay aside legitimate things to take time for your family. Maybe that's taking time to play a game with the children, or to help your wife with the dishes or whatever it is. Take time, prioritize family time. Those of you that don't have a spouse or children, look for opportunities to serve others. There's sometimes occasionally work projects in the evenings. Maybe you go to New York for Jesus. Find a hobby that's beneficial, that's a hobby that can you can use to serve others. Learn a new skill, things that serve others. But look for ways to use your time to benefit others and to glorify God and not just to please yourself. And then prioritize the other good and necessary things. Work is important. We have to make money to pay the bills and to provide for our families. The Bible commands us to work. But if our work is taking too much of our time from other callings and from God, then maybe we need to make some tough decisions and changes. Work is meant to be an end, work is a means to an end, not the end itself. And so manage your time in relation to work. Take care of yourself. Get sufficient sleep. Take time to eat. Maybe for some of us, we need to prioritize some exercise time. Those are legitimate things. I read this on a forum about how to manage time. It said, put down the phone, read a book, play a game with your children or your siblings, put on some music and clean, try a new recipe. Those are ways that they were saying to manage your time, to focus. And they were specifically addressing how easy it is to waste time on our phones. And they said, just lay them aside, find something else to do. Be willing to say no. Being a good steward with time means that we acknowledge that we're not great enough to do everything. And so be okay with saying no to some things. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to be involved as much as somebody else is. It's easy to compare ourselves and say, well, brother so-and-so can do five things, and here I am only doing two. And when we start comparing ourselves, let's be okay with saying no. You know what is your priorities, and you know what you can handle, and you know what your family's needs are. Just prioritize God first, your family next. Don't try to keep up with other people. If you're doing your best, then don't feel guilty for not being able to do more. Life isn't a competition to see who can fill their time the fullest, fill their schedule the fullest. But neither does it mean that we just throw up our hands and say, well, I can't do anything, and so I'm not going to do nothing. We do the best that we can with what we have. Managing time essentially is identifying and focusing on the most important things. There's many things that we can do that aren't necessarily wrong, but we choose not to do them because they take time away from things that are more important, like maybe reading your Bible and praying, or maybe spending time with your family. Whatever it is, there's things that are not necessarily wrong, but we say no to them. We choose not to do them because they take time away from more important things. So ask yourself what really is important, what really matters. To waste time is to waste life. So what should I do as a good steward of the time God gave me? What should I spend my time on? What you spend your time on reveals what you consider important, what your priorities are. And then the last one is enjoy. Enjoy your time. Psalm 90:14, the verse that we read there. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. God wants us to enjoy the time he gives us. He doesn't want us to be so stressed out and overworked and so time-bound that we're not able to enjoy life. And if we've packed our schedules so full that we're stressed out and unable to enjoy life, we need to reevaluate our choices. That's not being a wise steward. Enjoy time without spending it on selfish entertainment. That's not enjoying time. Spending time just on selfish entertainment, on myself, is not enjoying it. But recreation can be time well spent. But again, it has to be a matter of priority. If you have time for lots of recreation, but you don't have time for Bible study, for relationships, for brotherhood, then your priorities are wrong. Again, ask yourself the question, am I doing this at the expense of something more important? But fulfillment and enjoyment are found in profitably spent time. You can enjoy time, even if it's busy, if you're using your time in ways that serve others and bring glory to God. When you treasure time, when you invest your time wisely and you manage the time that you've been given, then you can enjoy time. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 for closing verses. Each of us has been given the gift of time. We're all here, we're all alive, we all have time. None of us knows how much more time we'll be given. But we shouldn't measure our time by how much we have. We should measure our time by how faithfully we use it in ways that glorify God and serve others and benefit others. So honestly evaluate how you spend your time. Ask God to give you the grace to redeem your time wisely. And now Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That's all we have to do. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so the conclusion of the whole matter is that how we use our time is important. It matters to God. It's our whole duty. And we're stewards of our time. It's been given to us, which means that we'll have to give an account of how we use our time. And that's why it matters. Let's pray.